Podtacular, episode 135, Customs and Creations, for the week of November 13th, 2007.
Now that was genuine butt-kicking.
Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at Podtacular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle, because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me. A battle will decide our destiny. My brothers are dead, my family is hurt. And I'm on the ground, no, I'm on the ground.
Well, hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Kumo Jack.
I'm Jeremy B.
I'm Dialfex.
And I'm Fidel 65.
All right, well, guys.
Thank you.
Should we call you guys Kane and Lynch?
Sure, but I get to be Kane.
Okay. All right. Who's the ugly, bald-headed one?
That's Daff.
Okay.
Who's the one with the smash nose?
I heard one's shorter than the other. Is that true?
That's very true.
Not really. Not really.
I heard Lynch cheated a little bit when the pictures were taken.
Yeah, okay. Those tippy toes.
Get on 1970 platform shoes.
Yeah, with a goldfish in it.
Chevelle's like a quarter of an inch taller than me, and he thinks he's like 5 foot taller than me now.
Hey, whatever helps you sleep better at night, whatever.
So Dialfex and Chevelle recently got to go to a Kane and Lynch community event for the GamerCast Network, and we're going to hear about that a little bit later on, after we do some Halo stuff.
Hey, we recently had a match against Bungie, JVB.
Yeah.
That was
something
else, man.
Unfortunately, we lost 2-1, but the game that we did win was actually quite entertaining and very intense.
Very close.
But how it all came along was, I got an email from Luke Smith, and he was talking a little trash, and he said, let's set up a hump day challenge. I said, whenever you're ready to dance, go put on your dance shoes. And on a Wednesday, he's like, pretty much said, hey, it's short notice, but can you guys do it tonight? And this was actually last week, right, Fumo?
Yep. Just this past Wednesday.
And we won first game, which was Shoddy Snipers on Valhalla. Killazilla had 22 kills, and the funny part was that after the game in the lobby, Luke Smith was questioning Killazilla's role in Podtacular. So we're like, oh, we're going to replace him with Tar Heels. And he goes, all right, so let me give you guys a helping hand, and he boots him out of the game. So, of course, Killazilla came back in, and then he left, and Tar Heels came in. And then I got an apology. Well, not an apology. Luke Smith, the next day, he was like, I was only kidding around. So, I mean, we all knew that. But, that was pretty cool. And the second game, we were winning, actually. And, it was, I don't know if Tar Heels got booted or he just lagged out or something.
Pretty sure he got booted.
Yep.
Yeah, and we lost that game by a few.
Yeah.
And then the last game, wow, what can I say about that one?
Yeah, we got
stomped. We lost by 25 on Sandra.
25 to 50.
Those guys got every weapon, every vehicle that was going to destroy us. They got it right away, and that was it.
Bungie really knows how to play Sandra. They locked that map down, no problem. Uh-huh.
An understatement.
Yep.
But it was great. It was great. And, I thank the entire Bungie team for, playing us for the second year in a row. We beat them last year, so next year is the rubber game, and we'll be ready this time, Luke. I will show you who's your father.
We'll bring all the ringers this time.
Yeah, Dolly and I were out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were stumped.
We definitely got to get a rematch going.
For sure.
Okay.
Well, this week is the Customs and Creations show, where we're going to be talking about custom games people sent in and Forge edits, and sometimes those go together. We've got a lot of good ones on here. Let's get started on that.
My buddy, Total Tortilla. So, Total Tortilla, he says, "Hey, Podtacular, it's me again. When you're all alone in the land game with only four players, Forge is here to help." He says, "Name, quarantine, map, sand trap, type, infection, 1-3. On elephant, weapons, assault rifle, and magnum. Special options. Zombie has 200% health, infinite grenades." Okay, here it is. The three people on the elephant turn into monitors. They board the elephant, and begin creating objects to pimp out their elephant. The other player is elsewhere, as he or she is to walk to the elephant and break through the defenses and capture the elephant. Players on the elephant may only use the weapons they start out with and must utilize the elephant's defense if they wish to win. This is a fun, small land party game that is set for 3-4 people. He came up with this when the first night he played Halo 3. He says, "Keep on fragging trucks," and so on and so forth. And he said, "P.S. He would like us to inform people that he has a webcomic at sticklemix.blogspot.com."
Awesome.
Thank you, Tilla.
Okay, I'm going to read the next one, but then I also want to tell you guys about one that I've seen that I thought was really cool.
Do that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, go ahead. You want the show just for you?
Hey, chill out.
All right, guys, Podtacular belongs to Chef from now on.
Whatever, Mr. Kanan Lynch, go on for 20 minutes. It's my turn, all right? I'm reading the next one. All right, this one comes in from Unwritten Law 19. He says, "Well, I was bored one day and decided to make a racetrack. It's a form of territories with obstacles to overcome. You use a mongoose. It's a lot more fun with partners because everyone has a plasma pistol, two grenades, one plasma, and one firebomb so you can slow down your opponents. But you need to download the new map I made for it to work right." Again, my gamer tag is Unwritten Law 19. Cool, Unwritten Law. Cool. The one I wanted to tell you guys about was one from Heavenly Yeti. He actually made kind of a training ground on Valhalla, which was pretty cool. He made a little driving course on there for the Warthog, and in the corner by the waterfall, he made these the explosive core barrels that are kind of floating,
nice.
And they respawn real fast, and he has these pistols there, and what you do is you pick up the pistol, you sit there, and you practice your aim with the pistol while the fusion cores are floating up and down, and then they respawn right away. And then by the man cannon, he has the sniper there, and the fusion core kind of spawns on the man cannon every 10 seconds or so you can practice your sniping. I don't know, I thought it was pretty cool. So I thought,
that's very creative.
That is cool, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, go ahead, definitely need a link for that one.
Yeah, that was unique.
All right, well, Coyote says, "Wow, this guy wrote like an essay."
No, what a little essay.
Don't you know I'm loco?
Alright, here we go. I heard a bunch of the zombie rules last episode and heard a few that sounded familiar, or similar, and quoted about being on a mongoose to hearing my partner go, "Oh crap," leads me to believe you're planning a spin-off of Resident Evil rules on the map Vegas. Sink trap with a bunch of vehicles at the human starting point, but no banshee. The game basics are one zombie versus all humans, and every kill the zombie gets, the person is turned into a human. Oh, okay. There's no going back. It's a zombie movie. The zombies always win. With zombies having unlimited response, while the last surviving human gets boosted shields, 150% speed and 200% damage, while he gains oddball style points just for staying alive. In addition to gaining points for killing zombies, some people prefer to give the last survivor invisibility and or a waypoint. Basically, the alpha zombie gets 300% run speed, 50% gravity, and 300% damage bonus, partial invisibility, and has nothing but a sword. He cannot pick up grenades. The alpha zombie also is stuck with a waypoint visible to everyone for the entire game, but he has 150 meters radar and can see everyone at all times with it. No one starts with a hammer because it's simply way too easy to flip vehicles with a hammer, and if no one has a chance to stay alive, it really sucks. Regular zombies get 300% speed, 50% gravity, 200% damage, and have a limited supply of grenades, but cannot pick up more.
Sounds like a map problem. Sorry. Like a big, long map problem.
I know, right?
I'm like, if your zombie has 300 speed plus 500 gravity and 200 damage...
What is the total?
Yeah, right? I wonder if he has this on his file share, because he could have just given his gamer tag. But all right, here we go. We only got three more pages to go. Let's go. Regular zombies get 300 speed and have a limited supply of grenades, but cannot pick up more. Some people do not like the very low gravity, but leaping becomes strategic because it causes the zombies to be an easy target for any turrets and warhogs. The basic premise of the game is to get into a vehicle ASAP and just floor it and never stop. You can kill zombies for points. Zombies get points for killing humans. Each round, the lowest scoring player becomes Alpha Zombie. He's basically guaranteed a couple of points for being an alpha, and it's rarely the lowest score on the next round. The only negative is when you get a very crummy player as alpha. It can take a few minutes for them to sneak up on the vehicles since he has a waypoint, but someone eventually gets cocky and goes down. Once there are two zombies, the game picks up speed. The surviving human rarely survives for more than a matter of seconds, since it's pretty much suicide to get out of your vehicle. The 100% run speed for the survivor allows him a small chance to switch vehicles. A friend of mine named Isaac Hikari created this a couple of days after Halo came out. While he went on to totally trick it out, read, ruin everything. Okay. I saved a copy of it on my file share. The old vanilla rules and vanilla map. So apparently he has that math problem better explained on his file share. So if you want to go ahead and download, I believe his gamer tag is Coyote because he didn't say anything, but must be Coyote.
The end.
Yeah, right?
It has to be Coyote. Dad.
Yeah, it's actually got some elite characters in there with the sevens and threes and stuff. I'll put it on the show notes. But anyway, interesting. Actually, Nick sent one in that's pretty similar. The difference is that he has one where the alpha zombie is actually an alpha vampire. And when he hits people, he takes their energy, 100% of it. So he actually has to do that to stay alive because his shields don't recharge. And the vampire spawns like with all this weaponry and all this different stuff. So it's kind of interesting sending that in. But I want to read one from Larkin real quick. He says, hey guys, this is my first time writing into PodTac, but I've been a listener now for about a year. Just want to tell you guys about an awesome game type that my friend made called Tom and Jerry. It's a juggernaut game where everyone has hammers, the juggernaut is super fast and has lowest gravity possible, can pick up weapons and grenades, and is invisible. The normal people are very slow, have maximum gravity so that they're very heavy, cannot pick up anything, and have constant overshields. When a normal player respawns, they are granted super speed, invincibility, and low gravity for a short time so that they can get back with their teammates. The slow normal players are forced to stick together because the juggernaut can easily pick out any one of the ones that leave the pack. And the juggernaut needs to plan his strikes so that he doesn't get owned by tougher normal players. This game type is best played on Guardian with at least 6 players. I'll try to get this up in my file share soon. Gamertag Larkin space 54. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep on fragging trucks. You too, man.
Cool.
Nice.
All right, we got one from Ba-Bam.
Just Ba-Bam.
Just Ba-Bam. No grunt, no cricket, no purple belly squirrel. So he says, Before I tell you my custom, he has three things to tell us. Number one, he's been listening since episode 89, and he loves the show. Number two, he doesn't have an Xbox Live account, therefore he cannot share his files. And number three, when he says Crow's Nest, he's talking about his custom map, not the single-player mission. Okay. He says the original version was on Construct, but he has versions of Narrows, Epitaph, and The Pit. On Construct, the glass outcropping, which looks like a landing pad, is also called, is the so-called Crow's Nest. Sorry about that. There are three machine gun turrets with a wall around them. The attackers must destroy the Crow's Nest in order to win. Okay, then he goes, the wall is made of crates, boxes, and barricades. However, there is a weakness. Behind the wall, there is a second wall of fusion cores. So a well-placed sniper round or offensive grenade, and ba-bam, there goes the defensive base. As for the machine guns, they can fire at any direction the offensive team. He said the machine guns, they can fire in any direction that the offensive team is coming from. However, the offensive team has some cover. But getting to the Crow's Nest is no easy task. The cover is very limited, and there is no missile pods, plasma turrets, or machine guns to repel them, to repel with. There is a flamethrower on top of one of the crates that makes up for offensive cover. But getting close enough to use it is very risky. The only sniper rifle is in the offensive territory and is out of the in the open, so it isn't easy to get. It can be a quick match if it's in the hands of a good sniper. Finally, in the back, near the central grab lift, hidden from the defenders is a big stack of crates. Let me see. Bear with me here. Okay. It's a big stack of crates.
No, he said behind the
and is the forward commanding center. Command center. Sorry about that. Just for the sake of looking cool, he also said there are some laptops on high ground, two battle rifles resting against the barricade. He also says I haven't been able to try it out yet in a full-scale 5v5 battle yet. But if Fumo Jive or JVB, aka Cockadoodle Noob, I haven't heard that one in a while, could create it on Xbox Live, that would be great. So shout out to Captain Kronk and Brent Gamer. And keep on fragging floating hardhats. He goes, P.S. For those who don't know what Cockadoodle Noob is, go listen to episode 90 if you dare. And he says, from the most hardcore fan in America, Game Freak B7. All right, thank you very much. And Game Freak B7, get yourself some Xbox Live soon so you can join us. So, Mr. Chevelle, you're next.
All right, call in, what is that, Lee J?
Leitchenheimy.
Sorry for me butchering your last name. Colin Litch says, I made a remake of Player One multi-map level, what is that, Cronin TL-34?
Chiron.
The one...
Chiron.
Chiron.
He's
never played Halo 1. Right?
Oh,
yeah. I haven't played Halo 1.
Oh, you get your chance.
He's never played Halo 1, so don't mind my friend.
I put it in Notepad.
The one with the teleporter. It is on the pit. It makes a 5-room connected one-way and two-way teleporters. All the exits to the room are blocked off. So you go from room to room, not knowing what the other rooms have in store for you. The only explosives on the map are trip mines and incendiary grenades. They are no closed weapons, so you can't just camp to get kills. There's a lot of equipment that makes a map fun to play. Lots of flares, radar jammers. I've tested it with my friends, and I really like it. It is on my final share. My gamer tag is Dynamite Monkey 7.
Dynamite.
Keep on fragging stuff.
Cool. You know, that would be really cool if they made it to where assassinations were -5, because then you couldn't just camp behind it and assassinate someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So take the guy's advice and tweak it a little bit, or else my cell phone will keep ringing.
All right. I'm going to read Atomic Flapjack. He says, I currently have two favorite maps, Scarab Assault. It's Tank Overlord made this awesome map. Basically, he used the teleporter glitch to create a Scarab in a Water of Last Resort. The attacking team has to board the Scarab and plant a bomb on the Scarab's lower level by climbing a leg and dropping through a red crate in the back. I can't even pronounce this kid's name. Tubagabluba.
You got it.
Posted about it, but I don't think he got the attention that it deserves. So check it out from Tubagabluba. The other one is Slip and Slide version 2.
And we played this style. Remember,
yeah, I know, yeah.
Oh, man. Explain this.
Okay, I'm going to read it and see if it's the same one. If not, I'll explain the one we played. I got this idea from a similar game type I found on Bungie.net. The game is set on a sloped roof, one of the bases on arrows. You spawn at the top with the sword and hammer and slide down. Thanks to the sloped floor. Well, you slide down thanks to the sloped floor. Eventually, you reach teleporters on the bottom that take you back to the top. On your way down, you can move slowly left and right, but you can't jump. You lunge into enemies to kill them. It's a fun distraction from the constant action and pressure of matchmaking. Both are on my file share. Keep on Fragging Truck, Guilty Spark, The Prophet of Truth, and the One-Eyed Purple Belly Squirrels. So this is Atomic Flapjack. So if you want to get those games, you can check out his file share. And then Slip and Slide, we played that.
Yeah, we spawn. It's like on Narrows, but you spawn.
Yeah,
on the side where you're falling off constantly. So you spawn and you're sliding down over the edge. So you're gonna die no matter what. So you try to take as many people out as you can.
Right, and while you're dying. But see, here's the thing. I kind of figure out like halfway through. If you start killing people to your left, where you cannot land on the teleports to the left, you get the chance to like fall from the top again, so then you can get a few more kills, you know, before you actually die. So there's a trick to it. If you keep getting on the teleport, you actually don't die, but it's really, really hard, almost impossible not to, you know, I mean, to reach the teleport every time. So
yeah, the teleporters are on the sides, and then the slope like makes you try to slide straight down, so you have to slide at an angle, like at a 30-degree angle towards the sides to get to the teleporter, and the teleporter brings you back to the top if you make it.
Right.
So
cool. It's a good game, actually. We played.
You know, I downloaded that Scarab game type and looked at it. Man, the thing is unbelievable. Those guys put a lot of work into that. It's really cool looking. You guys definitely got to check it out, man.
And that's on Last Resort.
Yeah, it's at the beach, actually. You go out to the beach, you fly out, you're like, holy crap, they built a Scarab out of just, like, spare parts, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's really weird looking.
Cool. Another one that I played in Last Resort that I thought it was really good, I forgot the name of it. I'm sure, you know, people listening to it are going to know. It's inside this tunnel where, you know, like, there's two flags. Yeah, Tunnel Raid. Man, that game is fun, I'll tell you that. We had a blast playing that game because, you know, you get the shot, you get the snipers and stuff like that, and you're constantly, like, inside of that tunnel so you can't get out. I mean,
that's crazy.
But it's, like, pretty crazy. It gets, like, pretty chaotic, you know what I mean? It's a really fun game.
Yeah, it is.
And Chemo 23 and Tar Heels 32 have actually had a cool, I don't know where they got it. They got it from somewhere else. It was a race map that was set up on Last Resort where you had to get in the Mongoose, and somebody took the time to make this really cool racetrack all the way around the whole thing, and it was that was kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, we definitely got to try out some of these game types that people are talking about, but they didn't actually send it in here.
Mm-hmm.
Just an indication of how much stuff is out there.
Definitely.
Yeah,
you know, a lot. There is a lot.
You know, Tunnel Raid, actually, they made a second version of that, somebody did, that is a little better. The reason is because of the spawn points, at least. There's probably a few other things that are better about it, but one of the things you want to do on Tunnel Raid is make sure that if you download the original Tunnel Raid, that you make sure to put some spawn points in the center of the tunnel. It's kind of an L-shaped tunnel with flags at both ends of that, and if you don't put spawn points in the center of the tunnel, then when you're going in to capture the flag, the enemies are always going to spawn in front of you as you're capturing the flag, so it doesn't matter how many guys you get in there.
Yeah, that's what happened to us. We couldn't get the flag out of there. The game ended up ending like 1-1, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, and it's funny, there's five different variations of Team Bubble Bath. So, go figure.
Yeah.
Alright, so Fumo Jav, you're next.
Okay.
Hermano.
Let me see here.
That's a brother in Spanish.
Brother! Snap into the Simjian brother.
Que tu vas el hermano. Que tu vas el.
Okay, aquí tenemos Swift Ninja 1. Pronto, ninja! He says, this is Swift Ninja 1 here, and I'm new to the community, and this is my first time submitting. I've listened to Podtacular since, like, episode 30. I think.
Ta-da!
Anyway, I have a really fun Forge map. It's called Playground, and it's on high ground. After I made it, I realized they both had the word ground in it. Nice.
Wow, groundbreaking.
Wow.
Shocking.
Had me grounded with that joke.
Boom.
You start off on the beach. There are all vehicles around you and weapons in front of you on the ground. On the rest of the level is many fun games, okay? There's a giant continuous explosion at this laser spawn. There are propane tanks that make, like, firecrackers. And there is a shooting mini-game where you shoot telephones with the Sentinel on the boxes at the bubble shield spawn. The map and game type are in my file share. Good job on the podcast, and keep on fragging trucks and salty crackers.
It sound like Chuck E. Cheese.
Sounds like Do they have pizza?
There's a Chuck E. Cheese hole over there. Did they do anything with it?
People play skee-ball
and
win tickets.
I threw a grenade on Chuck E. Cheese's face. Honed the club.
But it's not Showbiz. Right. Did you guys ever have Showbiz? was like the cheap knockoff of Chuck E. Cheese in my town.
Showbiz.
Yeah, they had like, instead of Chuck E. Cheese, they had like a purple gorilla. And he had like a tux on, and he used to like play the keyboard on stage, you know, the animatronic guy. And we were like, dude, shut up. You're not Chuck E. Cheese. Just quit.
Oh, man.
Just give up.
Well, thank you, Swift Ninja 1.
I remember going to Chuck E. Cheese when I was little and seeing those animatronic things up on stage and going, this is freaking me out. Where's my pizza and my coins? I'm going to keep all.
Somebody don't get me some pizza. I'm going to flip.
Dude, we used to raise hell at Chuck E. Cheese, man. We used to go there when we were teenagers and, like, we'd go jump in the balls and, like, run our hands across the bottom and find, like, $5 in coins in a couple minutes. And then go, like, and then we would go over to, like, the mini basketball game. Like, not the full-size one where you have to actually shoot the basket, but this is the one for, like, tiny kids that you know, can't reach that far. So, like, it was so close that you could just reach your hand over and drop the ball.
Oh, I thought you were a kid.
We'd go grab a basketball, and we'd, like, just shove it in and out of the basket, and it'd be like, nice shot, nothing but net, nice shot, and all this stuff. Like, sweet. And then we'd go get, like, a whole, like, ton of tickets from that. And yeah, we go in there with no money. We go out with, like, all these little rings and yo-yos and ridiculous stuff.
Nice plastic yo-yos. Rule.
we played the alligator game with, like, five guys, so there's one in each hole.
Smack the hell out of them as they come out.
That's wrong, dude. See. That's wrong, man.
Bop
it. Let's go win some teddy bears, man. Five guys, who's down? See, I'm from the Bronx. I'm 35 years old, so there was no Chuck E. Cheese when I was growing up. It was more like, we're going to Chuck E. G's house, and he's going to have a cake, and then there's going to be an adult party. And you're gonna fall asleep where they have all the coats.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. This is our excuse to party.
And you're gonna like it.
You're gonna like it.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, so we're going to move on to GamePro 330. He goes, "Hey guys, GamePro sounding off. I took an extended break from Halo when I got my 360. It's good to be back. Anyway, I want to submit my reimagined version of Construct. I love the map, but it seems to me that for some reason, most people don't. He thinks it's because of all the camping. Also, I always thought it would be a great map for objective game types. I moved the flag and bomb points, changed the King of the Hill and territory points, and made the level more base-like through inventive box and fusion core placements. I also placed one grab lift, which should alleviate the camping issue and create new ways to storm the base if you are tricky. The map should be should play best on attack-defend game types. Infection should also be fun. I made a zombie game that I thought might work well. Both the map and the game type are on my file share." He says, "Try it out. The level is Quarantine. The game type is Influenza. My gamer tag is GamePro330, no space. Keep on fragging warthogs, ghosts, mongeese, banshees, hornets, high charity, and anything else that deserves a good fragging. Thank you very much, GamePro, and welcome back to the world of Halo." Yeah, make sure you download some of this file share.
Cool.
All right. And then I'm going to read one here from the Two Cheat.
That guy.
Yeah, I always like reading his stuff. Okay. The Two Cheat says, "I was really bored one day, so I decided to make a portal-themed variant of Sand Trap. I have a series of teleporters arranged in such a way, if successful, you maintain a constant velocity ricocheting all across the map before coming back to the start and beginning a new cycle. It still needs a few tweaks to get the run foolproof, but it works crazy good. Well, it's hard to describe, but easy to play. It can be found in my file share under Portal Desert. Have fun."
Sounds cool.
Two cheat.
Yeah.
I've yet to play one like that where you just... I've seen a video of it on Bungie.net where there's just people bouncing in and out of portals everywhere and you don't even have time to throw a grenade, but I've yet to play one like that. That one sounds kind of fun.
I played one like that on Guardian. It was called Teleguardian. And it was actually kind of jacked up, though, because, like, partway through the thing, if you take the wrong teleporter, you end up, like, spawning right above the open ground. You just fall to your death. But, like, most of them, the thing is, like, instead of going in a circle, which I think it should, everything went to the center of the map eventually, and there was a huge amount of fusion cores in the center of the map that respawned. So it was like someone could just, like, jump out of the cycle, get on top of the of that tower, and just wait till someone ends up in the center and blow them up. So it was kind of jacked, but that would totally be fun to just like keep like bouncing around all over the place.
Yeah. All right. I read from Thundrio. He says, "I have a mode that I made that I call Hardcore Mode. In this mode, you have x4 over shields, but no shield recharge, and 10% damage resistance. And you have 150% speed and 75% gravity." Here we go with the physics math problem. And on top of all of this, you have two random weapons with unlimited ammo. And you cannot pick up other weapons. I find that this variant is best played on Isolation or Guardian. The Guardian variant boxing paranoia. I also want to say that you can look one of Particular's forums to find links to the maps without anything on it. Now most people already know this, but I wasted my time by cleaning out two maps before I found out about the maps that were already had already been made. He's talking about the empty ones. Mm-hmm. And lastly, there is a fun assault map variant of Last Resort called Scarab Assault. I do not remember who made it, but whoever made a scarab out of boxes in the ocean part of the map, and you have to get inside of the scarab to arm the bomb. By tonight, I should have my hardcore mode and the maps Boxing Paranoia and the Scarab Assault on my fire share. By the way, my gamer tag is Thundrio.
There's that Scarab Assault again, man.
Yeah, I want to check it out now. I'm really curious.
Yeah, same here. I want to see what the scarab looks like.
It looks cool, but it's fun to play too because the way they set it up is
My Xbox is broken.
Oh, that's right. Hey, I'll tell you how cool it was. Don't worry, Dallas.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll fill you in, buddy.
You'll hear all about it too, and about all the fun games I was playing today on Halo 3. It was so fun. What'd you do?
Cool.
Don't worry, I'll call you tomorrow too. I'll tell you how it was. I'm sure it's cool. Awesome.
That's cool.
All right.
So who's next?
Yes, Fumo, you're next.
Oh, okay. That would be me. All right.
Some guy named Fumo.
I don't know whoever that is. The Russian Kolob writes in saying, "Hey guys, Russian Kolob here. With a new game type that Drive C and I made. It's called Galo. The game's origins are from Halo 2 matchmaking."
Sure, it's Drive C. It wasn't Chevelle or anything.
Me and my friend, Drive C, would begin to commit suicide and betray each other if we were in a game that we were getting slaughtered on. We basically tried to get as many negative points as they had positive points. Anyway, back to the game time. Alright. It's a basic Team Slayer game with a bit of a twist. You get -5 points if you kill someone in the other team. You get +1 point for suicides and betrayals. So for you to win, you have to kill your own team members, not the other team. That's the watered down explanation of the game. The fact is that you can't kill the other team if you win makes it hard to play because you have to think about not killing them and instead killing your own teammates. Okay. We're still working on it and to get it fine-tuned, and by the time this comes out, it should be ready. We're also working on a map for this game. It should be in either Drive C, that's Drive_C, I guess, or Drive Space C.
Cameron.
Or on my file share, or both. Great job with the podcast. I'd like to give a shout out to Squirrel, Drive C, of course, Dude5846, and everybody at Rec E. Keep on using awesome. Old smelly hats and golden melees.
The golden melee. All right, cool. Tapio, he says, "What's up, Podtacular? I did a race map a while ago on the map called Guardian." He's saying, yes, you might be wondering, how can you drive in Guardian? But he says it's possible to trust him. He goes, there are a few cool things in Guardian, such as the two bridges. He said there's also a spot where your driving skills come to play. He says his race map is called Drive Skills, with a Z at the end. He said it makes it sound cool for the kids. He has two different map types for this, one for two players and one for four players. He says, be sure to download the game mode he also made up for this map. He says his racer game type is called the racer mode. He also has a film clip if anyone wants to know how to drive around this map. He said it's possible, so don't worry about it. He also created a game type called Garden. He said he doesn't know what it means, but he just made up the name because it sounds cool. Anyway, he says... he tweaked the map. It's also very, he replaced every default weapon on the map with something different. He says there's some battle rifles around, so you can use the guns that were lacking in Guardian. He says there's also two sniper rifles in the map in case some people want to camp where the overshield normally spawns in normal Guardian. He also changed the place where the overshield and visibility spawn. He says, sword is in the middle of the map, but to be careful because someone might get sniped before you get the sword. He said enough of his bad English. He said he hopes people enjoy the map and maybe send him some feedback about it. His gamer tag is Tapio. He also says shout out to the whole Gamertag Radio and Podtacular crew who has played with him. Says, P.S., I'm not sure what keep on fragging trucks mean, so I'm just going to say, keep on teabagging the kids with high-pitched voices who keep dropping the F-bombs, and PSS, why the hell would someone want to destroy someone's truck? Trucks are not free, you know. And he also puts a link on the show notes for his file share. Thank you very much, Tapio.
He's actually a new guy that just signed up from Finland. I played with him a couple of times.
Right. Yes, I've played with him on a few Gamertag Radio nights. Sweet. Game nights.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you that don't know what the fragging trucks thing is, let me let you know about that. That was back in the day. Way back in the day, on like episode...
Back in the day.
Like, somewhere in the first 10 episodes, when Spellcheck and I were doing Podtacular back then. And one time, One time we were wrapping it up, and one of us said, "Keep on trucking." The other one said, "Keep on fragging." And I said, "Keep on fragging trucks." And it just kind of kept on going since then and became keep on eating meatballs and keep on, you know, throwing dumplings and keep on doing everything else.
Hey, speaking of dumplings, I had them today.
Oh, here we go.
Dumplings. And I told my wife I will mention her legendary dumplings.
Dumpling so. Power. I think that's the fifth uh-huh. type of grenade.
Yeah, it is.
It's a deployable weapon. It distracts the opponent. You drop a dumpling, and they go, "My, look at that tasty-looking dumpling."
It's like,
I think I'm going to have it.
Smack him in the back. Yeah, you got pumped.
Yeah, you got
something
dumpling.
Smells really good in here. Where is that?
Well, I want to plant the bomb. I want to pick up this dumpling.
Exactly. I mean, it's a great strategy, and it's a deployable weapon, so you have to use it at the right time.
Yeah, hey guys, look at this dumpling. It looks delicious and nutritious.
Look at the steam coming out of it. Its crust looks so crispy.
My mouth is watering.
Or if you're the elite.
Yeah.
I love every time the elite dies, but I feel like I'm killing like a puppy or something.
Yeah,
no. I'm sorry.
It's like a decapitated chicken or something.
Decapitated chicken.
How does a decapitated chicken sound?
Wow. That was the best decapitated chicken imitation I've ever heard.
Dude, you should be in movies.
I get my chicken from KFC. Where do you get your chicken from? Like, you come in a cage to your house, like UPS, and you're like, "Hey, Mom, chicken's here, get the axe."
He doesn't eat him.
No, he doesn't use an axe. He just grabs the neck and twists him around.
Yeah, I do it on my own.
He slices it off with his mouth. I did it, Mom. I did it.
That's, Mom, and then, that's when it sounds...
Wow, dude, the best is when the elites fall to their death because they make this ridiculous sound. It's just like really long. It's like just goes on and on. You're like, "Jeez, are you dead yet?" Dang.
Wow, did it hurt?
Are you okay, buddy?
I'm gonna eat up dying here. That dumpling! Oh!
It's stuck in my throat.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Yeah, well. That really put an exclamation point, the whole thing.
It most certainly did. And that's probably about time to wrap it up. We had more customs to that you guys can check out on the show
we
notes.
We went from dumplings to decapitated chicken.
You guys went to a special event recently. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. We went to the we got to go to the Canon Lynch community event, which was pretty awesome. The whole GamerCast network was there, you know, like one representative from each community. And since Chevelle was like right around the corner, he stopped by and he ended up taking part of the event with everybody else. And it was really cool. We had the opportunity to meet up with the guys from Eidos and, you know, get to know a bunch of people and, you know, play the game beforehand. So it was really cool. It was a really good time.
Where exactly was this event?
It was in San Francisco.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now, can you give us a brief summary of what you thought about the game? What was the highlight and what was the low points?
You can go first, Al.
All right. I like the game. When I went in, I was expecting just another shooter. But, you know, after playing the game and seeing how everything was, I was actually really surprised about how the game developed for, you know, single player and multiplayer. The single player was really good. It was, you know, it wasn't that type of game that you have those 30-minute cutscenes and, you know, you start the game, you get a cutscene that throws you right into the story, and, you know, you already got a gun in the next second and you're ready to shoot, you know. So it wasn't too much of, you know, you got to wait to see what's going on and so forth. And the game itself was really good. The music from Jesper. He made it so that the game would be just like a movie. I mean, as you go through the game, you get really like a cinematic motion from, you know, what's going on in the story mode along with the music. And so it was really good. I mean, they did a pretty good job. You know, there's a bunch of cool little features on the game for the squads, you know, how you manipulate your squads and the cover system and stuff like that. So it's kind of like they pieced a bunch of, you know, good things from previous games. It's one game that ended up being like a really good game. And for the multiplayer, you know, Fragile Alliance was really cool too. Like you get to play a game different than, you know, what you used to when you play multiplayer. It's not just like a run and gun multiplayer type of stuff. It's like you really got to play and you have to, you know, you have to watch your back because you don't know if the person behind you is going to betray you for your money. And so you really got to play the game with like a criminal mindset, you know what I mean? Because you don't know, you know, who the person next to you is or what they're going to be doing, you know what I mean? So it's a really good game.
Speaking of Fragile Alliance, sorry to cut you off, Chevelle. I heard a rumor that, Dialpex, you purposely threw a grenade at your teammates and killed three guys, and no one could trust you after that.
Several times.
Tell us about that one, dear.
Well, I didn't mean to, though. See, we were all playing this step where, you know, the game's already out, so there's like a gazebo right in the middle of the map, and people were just like kind of taking their time from there, taking out the cops, and, you know, before they made their move. And I tossed a nade in there, and I took out, like, four guys with one nade, and there was only one guy left. So then, because I really didn't mean to, and I'm not just saying this, I went up to the guy, and I said, look, dude, I didn't mean to kill everybody. Let's just do this together. And he's like, screw that, dude. You just killed the whole team. You want me to team up with you? You know? So then, like, it was, like, five cops coming, and then for a second, you know, he kind of, like, thought about taking out the cops with me and then, you know, trying to make, you know, make away with the money. But he was just, like, too worried about me taking him out, you know, from his back. So he just turned around and, like, took me out. And we kind of, like, took out each other at the same time. So it was, like, a draw and the cops won. But it's a really good game. It's really fun when you start, like, making your plans. Like, because you can play a game safe on the first, you know, first and second round, so people will think, oh, he's just the kind of guy that won't betray anybody and he just wants to do his thing. But then if on the third round, all of a sudden you turn around and, you know, start killing people, get their money or whatever, it changes, like, the whole, you know, the whole mechanic, the whole development you had for the first two rounds. So it's very interesting. It's a good multiplayer.
Now, Chevelle, can you tell us a little bit about what he's talking about betraying your teammates, about going against the cops and things like that? What is the multiplayer in Kane and Lynch, and how does it work?
Sure, that was my favorite part. Basically, you start out, everybody starts out on the same team. Everybody's a robber. You're going into a bank, and you've got to go over to the tellers and gather the money. As you gather the money up, above your head where it says your name, it also says how much money you have. So being a crook, you can choose to betray your teammates, kill them, take their money, and then try to get to the getaway van with all the money. So the next round, you win all the money, you get to buy better weapons for the next round. But if you do die as a robber, then you become a cop. So then the more people that get killed, they become cops, and you've got more people chasing you, and your whole objective is to finish as a robber and get to the getaway van.
And, what's the maximum allowable players?
Eight. How many was there, Dial? Eight?
It's eight, yep.
Eight.
But thing is, like, you start as a robber, and if you die, you become a cop. For whatever the map is, like, for the bank, for instance, you start as a robber, and then you die, you become a cop. And then if you die as a cop, you're done for the round. You gotta wait until the next round.
Okay. Well, for me, that was the funnest part. And I mean, I think the best part about it was Dal and I sat next to each other. So we kind of got a whole survivor attitude going on, and we kind of made an alliance between him and me. And there's a part where we're just about to the getaway van, and there's two other guys behind us, and they have a bunch of money, too. I kind of give a look over to Dial, like, let's do it. Let's do this. So we turn around and we just blast these two guys in front of the van. And we hear them yelling on the other side, hey, they got an alliance! We got the money and then opted in the van. And took
yeah, because we had 200 grand, you know, in money. And we were going to get away and split the money four ways. So I just looked at Chevelle. I was like, screw the four ways, you know what I mean? Let's split this two ways. So we just killed the other two guys, got their money, and then by the time they were cops, you know, we were already gone. Because, you know, it takes, like, you know, 5 seconds for you to respawn, and then you respawn, you know, on the other side of the map, so you, yeah. you know, you kind of, like, meet head-on with the robbers and stuff. But we were already right there, ready to board the van, you know what I mean? So
awesome.
It was really
awesome.
Cool, though. It's a really good game. It's really fun.
Yeah, it was.
Cool. And I'm glad to see that you guys... We're given the chance to represent Power Tackler over there, and get a, you know, some experience on the other side of the gaming spectrum, I guess.
Oh yeah, it was a really good time, and big thanks to the guys from and girls from Idols, you know, they really cool, Jenny and David, Stanley, all the guys. They were really their hospitality was great. So
and Jeff. They all were really cool. They'd answer any questions you had. I mean, they were great. They were always asking, you want another soda? You need anything? You're like, no, I'm good. I'm playing the game. I'm good.
Yeah. Really nice guys.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Glad you got to do that.
I wanted to tell my game type called Apple Teeny that somebody wrote in here.
Apple Teeny.
How'd you go to dinner?
That sounds like a manly drink.
Yeah, cool, very. Very manly, right next to Shirley Temple. It's right there on the menu.
Shirley Temple. Can I have a Roy Rogers, please?
White Rogers. Shirley Temple and an Apple Teeny to go, please. And can I get two straws, please, for my Apple Teeny?
And one of the little pretty umbrellas.
I was just going to say that. Can I get a pirate sword through a cherry?
Oh, man.
Tell the story about this, dude.
Har! Can I walk your plank? Excuse me?
Stay away from the planks. Story goes, we were out to dinner with Edos while they were entertaining us. We're a bunch of very cool people, and everybody at the table, except for two people, ordered very manly drinks, and they got the Dial. He's like, I will have an Apple Teeny, and the guy next to him goes, I will have a hot chocolate.
Hey, what did you order? You didn't get anything.
I ordered a gin and tonic. Gin and juice.
Okay, whatever.
Gin and juice.
Gin and juice.
Chevelle's like, excuse me.
I didn't even know
me.
Was your mind on your money and your money on your mind?
Yeah, what?
That's Chevelle. He's like, excuse me. Can I have a sparkly water? Yes, sparkly water, bubbly.
You want to go there? Yeah. I'll try
can I get an Oxy Fumante, please?
They're like, hey, Chris, your little brother here wants an Apple Teeny. I'm like, it's not my little brother's dad. We'll get some yellow pages out here, put him under him, we'll pick him up, he'll be fine.
Oh, man.
And the guys from the Gamercast Network, they're like, yo, Dial, who's that guy with the sparkly water thing, man? I was like, I don't know, dude. I don't know, but that,
just call him Sparkles.
That sparkly,
I think
bubbly
he's checking
water
you out.
Thing's gotta go, you know?
It's
and then
a
when
spritzer,
we got to the
okay?
studio,
it's a spritzer.
When we got to the studio, we went to check out, like, the statue, like, the Hitman
oh,
and
here
Lara
we go.
Croft statues. And then, you know, all the guys went to, like, the Lara Croft statue, like, check it out. Chevelle went to the Hitman statue, like, wow, nice pistol.
Oh.
He's like, rubbing the, you know, the gun and all that. Wow.
I love his bald head.
And then,
so smooth.
And then the hotel room, I was like, there's only one bed, Chevelle, so I'm going to get the side closest to the window. And I was like, dude, how about I'll just sleep on the couch.
There's only one bed, and I hope you don't mind. I'm sleeping with my Speedos on.
Yeah.
Hey, can you put this lotion on my back?
I brought my Master Chief pajamas.
Nice. Can you tell me a story, Chevelle? Please.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Well, let's wrap this homie up.
All right.
Let's do that. Well, send in your comments, et cetera, to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show. And be sure to check out podtacular.com for the show notes for the show. There's plenty of cool custom games in there that you guys can check out. There's links in there. There's the spelled out gamer tags, all that good stuff. So check it.
And before we continue, I just want to apologize to those submissions we didn't read. Go to the show notes, check them out. There's a lot of good stuff that we didn't get to due to time constraints. So we do apologize. So with that being said, you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. 206-888-HALO. And Bingo was his name-o. And leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the Customs and Call... Whoops! on the Call-ins and Tales from the Foxhole show. I still get mixed up.
Hey, Cousin? And, I'll go ahead, Dal.
Alright. Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out the forums, too. There's a lot of events, projects, and ways to make friends and play Halo with some cool people. And we have up right now a Canon Lynch contest. So go to the forum at podtacular.com and check it out.
What's the name of that contest here, Dupex?
It's Get the Cash. The Canon Lynch Get the Cash contest. So you can win some cool Canon Lynch prizes that we brought back from the event. So check it out.
Awesome.
And thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community site, contributing to the PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes.
And don't forget the Zoom. Don't forget the Zoom now. Podcasts are up on Zoom.
And the Zoom, yeah.
So go there and download the Zoom, with your Apple Teeny. Download the Zoom software and... Subscribe
with your above sparkly water and have some fun.
And your fufu berry soda.
Only order the apple teeny if you're out with your woman, so you can blame it on her.
It's for her.
Same thing with the bubbly water, though. Sparkly water only with your woman, not with a bunch of guys.
Right. Well, check out the other shows in the GamerCast Network: Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, Achievement Junkie, and GCN's very own video game show. Until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I am Dial Pex.
And I'm Chevelle 65.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on wearing wet towels in the beach.
Keep on ordering apple teenies.
Oh.
Keep on ordering bubbly water.
Keep on fragging mopeds.
Mopeds are cool, man.
Oh, send a shout out to send a shout out to our friend Meister.
There's only one thing left to say.
But different maps, you get to be different characters. You know what I mean? You get to be you have to. You get to be
like, Carl Arby.
What the hell is that?
Hey, your burrito's done. Your burrito's done. Dinner.
TV dinner time.
But, and it was gonna split four ways. So,
like, don't mind me, guys. There's a fire in my house, but I do want to continue the show.
He's making soda.
But anyway, so it was four guys. We were gonna get away. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and sorry, I messed up on that. But as I always do in every show, I put all the show notes on Notepad. And for some reason, there is one long sentence that goes right across the notepad, so I got to scroll sideways in order to read it.
Nice.
And before it was my turn, I'm trying to, like, put it in order, you know.
Or it's just a good excuse, but okay, we'll go with that.
Well, yeah. That was a good one. I thought of that on the fly.
Yeah, it was a good one, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to use that.
You guys don't believe me. All right.
This week on the GamerCast Network. On Gamertag Radio, the staff finally reveals this year's third annual Xbox Community Awards 2007 nominees and an interview with members from Gamer Chicks about women in gaming. On the video game show, the graphical juggernaut known as Crysis has finally landed. Was it worth the wait? Is it the next great first-person shooter for the PC? Does it truly have the greatest-looking hands of all time? Uncle Gamer is on break for the holiday, but brings you an interview with Hesper Kidd, the composer behind Assassin's Creed and Kanan Lynch. Achievement Junkie is now being recorded from a secret cave somewhere in Redmond, Washington, where they'll give you the scoop on the 360 and reveal your thoughts on including sex in video games. On Sarcastic Gamer, a member of the crew gets punked beyond belief, plus an interview with Nerve Software about enemy territory Quake Wars coming to the Xbox 360. Check out Podtacular for the latest news from the unofficial Halo universe. Discover the website that brings you all of these great episodes and headlines at GamerCastNetwork.com. That's GamerCastNetwork.com.